This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Thank you, Jerry. And tomorrow, that's Mike Wright for the Baltimore Orioles, like you said. And last time he pitched, he'd make it out of the fifth inning. The Blue Jays got four runs on six hits. He walked five in what wound up being an 11-6 win for the Jays. Aaron Sanchez got lit up by the Orioles on Sunday. Gave up four homers in five innings, but the Blue Jays won that game 10-9. The Blue Jays scoring all kinds of runs lately. 52 in the last six games for an average of almost nine per game, and that includes a game in which they were shut out on Monday. They lost 7-0 to these Philadelphia Phillies. That's the only game they've lost in the last seven. And they are now again in the second wild card spot, a game out of the first wild card spot, two games out of first place in the AL East. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and let's get to your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll lead things off with Blake in Stayner. Hello, Blake.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
I just turned the radio on and I heard you. The first question you asked was all the people needed to call in that were putting the Jays down back in May.
Well, not so putting them down, because I think it's okay. I mean, yeah. And I've had this kind of discussion with other people and on Twitter before. To be upset, to be frustrated by the fact that the Jays weren't hitting and that they were four games under 500, not playing well, no problem with that. To suggest the season's over, they've dug themselves too big a hole to come out of, they really were never that good, that's what I don't like.
Exactly, and I agree with you. So I found that was a really good question. So I figured I would just call in and just give you a little bit of perspective of the majority, which I'm sure you're used to. Is everybody's used to dealing with the Leafs. So as soon as they hear anything that goes on after finally a Toronto team with a winning season, right, like how last year went, and then a devastating loss, obviously, in the playoffs, but now the expectations were extremely high right away. And then if it didn't unfold like we were in first place for the first 2 months, everybody's all of a sudden, well, we got to blow everything up. We got to change everything. Let's go. Let's trade this person. So it just seems to be constant Leaf fans calling in and people that are just not patient enough to let things unfold.
You know, I've really thought for years that the Toronto Maple Leafs destroyed the souls of sports fans in this city. And you may well be right that the Leafs have ruined things for everybody else, because there have been so, I mean, until this last year where they decided, all right, look, we're just going to be awful and try to do it the right way. There were 3 years in a row where the Maple Leafs were one of the best teams in the NHL through the first 2 months of the season and didn't make the playoffs. Not making the playoffs is a really, really difficult thing to do in the NHL. So, yeah, you know what? That may very well have a whole lot to do with this.
So what I'm interested in as well is the same thing you are. All the people that were impatient and kind of saying the exact same thing, let's trade everything, oh, well, the season's over already. I'm also curious as well to see if any of those people are going to call in and have any kind of recourse for what they were saying before.
Thanks, Blake. I appreciate it. I don't think we're going to hear from them. Very often when teams that are not going well turn things around, you know, it's just like in the movie Major League, right? Those two guys who were crapping on the team all season long, at the end when they're in the playoff run, I was behind them all the way from day one. I knew this, you know, this was going to happen. So a lot of people, and that's part of sports fandom, right? Is that people tend to forget and react to what's immediately in front of them as opposed to big picture. But I really would love to hear from people who weren't just upset, but who were. I remember getting a tweet in the middle of May from a guy who said, all right, well, that's it. I'm done with this team. And I answered back, see you in a week or two. Because that's the way it works. But I honestly would love to hear, not for the I told you so, but to hear from people who thought the legitimately thought the season was over and you should trade everybody a month ago. Blue Jays win at 13-2 today. It's another one of those what price victory games as Jose Bautista goes into the wall in right field and smacks his big toe on the base of the fence. He left the game with left big toe soreness and went for precautionary x-rays. We do not know the results of those x-rays yet. If we find out before we go off the air, we will let you know. 13-2 Blue Jays win. Jim is in Calgary. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Love the show.
Thank you.
So I just want to pick up briefly on what the last caller said. I you know, I've been a believer from day one.
But you're in Calgary, so the Maple Leafs haven't had a chance to ruin you.
No, the Flames tanked it a couple of years ago, and who knows? You know, maybe we've got a bit of a more optimistic view of the world out west here. I have no idea. But look, I mean, when you got strong starting pitching, you just knew the bats were going to catch fire eventually. And of course, the bullpen hasn't been maybe what we wanted, but it's a 162 game season, and you can't judge a full season on what happens in April or May or even June. So the team will lose again at some point, probably more than once in a row, and you know you'll hear the whining and crying again. But I think the fundamentals are there. What I want to get your opinion on is the ridiculous double play slide rule. You know, it's happened, if I'm not mistaken, this is the third time I know it's happened to the Jays this year. First game, of course, with Jose Bautista, and again, that infamous fight game, I guess it was called there. And both of those, I guess you could argue, probably was the right call. But tonight, I mean, is this, are we going to be allowed to play baseball? Are you allowed to even slide to second base anymore? And is there, what do you think the chances of them actually tweaking this rule midseason? You know, it didn't hurt the Jays today, but, you know, this happens in the playoffs. It's going to cost someone a very important ball game, and I think it's gone just way too far.
Yeah, I'm not, you know what, I don't think that tonight's was as egregious as the masses seem to think. I think that you could legitimately look at what Kevin Pillar did as a roll block. I don't think it was. I think that, but the fact that he wound up on his knees with his midsection into the thighs of the second baseman, he was rolling, and that's, you know, a roll block is against the rules, period. So I think that's why it happened there. What surprises me is if it was such an egregious roll block, why didn't the second base umpire who was looking right at it call it? You know, if it's that bad, and that's the thing, and Joe Siddle has talked about the slide rule this way a few times. I feel the same way. It's sort of like that famous story about how the Supreme Court defines obscenity. You know, I know it when I see it. And that's what this should be. This slide rule should be, I know it when I see it. And honestly, it was made to stop middle infielders from getting hurt. So if you hit the ground first, that should be enough. If you hit the ground first and you're going at the bag, that should be enough. You're not trying to blow the guy up. You're not trying to hurt him. But Pillar did kind of go into that half roll there, and that's enough to break the rule. Yeah, I know. I'm not feeding into the screaming masses of what are they doing and all of that stuff. But if his butt had stayed on the ground, then that would have been fine. I don't know that he rolled on purpose, but there you go. 13-2, the Blue Jays beat the Phillies. Mike is in Toronto. Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
I did not call in May to say that this team wasn't that great.
All right.
I'm gonna take it a step further. I'm going to call now in the middle of June when they're winning to say that this team isn't that great.
Okay.
They have a back-catching tandem that has the worst combined batting average in all of baseball.
There's no such thing as back-catcher, but okay.
Whatever.
And we've also evolved beyond looking at batting average as a major statistic.
J-Hap and Dickey are two guys. Neither one of them will be useful in the playoffs. and Sanchez is going to the bullpen.
Yep.
Come playoff time, we're going to have two guys if Stroman gets his act together. We got no assets down there to go pick up anybody.
Nobody.
Not much. Not like we did last year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it isn't that good a team at all. And then my other issue, and this is not, this has nothing to do with the guys on the field, but Anthopoulos was on the radio once a week, if not a little bit more. Sometimes it was Jay's call night on a Tuesday. Sometimes he was on prime time with McCowan.
He was never on Jay's talk. Anthopoulos was never, he did a lot of radio, you're right, but he was never on the show.
Yeah. I felt like there was a face to the franchise, somebody that the fans could relate to. And I know not every GM is like that, but I thought that was fantastic. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know who the GM of this team is. So I don't think the team's that great, and it will show in the long run.
All right, well, you're wrong about that. But as far as the criticism of Ross Atkins was on our broadcast on Sunday, maybe? I think Sunday after the draft, he was on with us in the second and third innings. But you're right. They're not as out there in the media as Alex Anthopoulos was. I have asked Mark Shapiro to come on Blue Jays Talk, and we're trying to figure out a time that works for him. I'm hopeful that we might be able to make it happen next Wednesday. Mark Shapiro generally wakes up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, so he doesn't want to go on the radio until 11 o'clock after a night game, and I don't blame him for that. But I'm going to try to get him on Wednesday, which is a 4 o'clock game, so we're on from 7 to 8, and hopefully we'll be able to do that. But that's a valid criticism, that these guys aren't talking to the fans as often as Alex Anthopoulos did and J.P. Ricciardi before him. But they are kind of letting the team do the talking. And John Gibbons isn't doing radio this year either. So you're definitely not hearing from the Blue Jays decision makers as much as you used to in the past. Blue Jays beat the, as far as the other stuff, that they're just not that good. That's just silly. You understand that that's just silly. Pronouncing that J-Happ and R.A. Dickey are just going to be non-factors down the stretch with nothing to back it up, and saying that Russ Martin and Josh Tolley have a bad batting average. That's the best you can do. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 13-2. We'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll hear from John Gibbons. We'll hear more of your phone calls as we continue with Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
First pitch from Murray. Line drive into center field. It gets down in front of Herrera. Base hit for Hap. You don't say.
There you go. Everybody is hit now in that lineup. And look at the pitchers applauding in that third base dugout. Dickey, Stroman, Estrada, Sanchez. That's a close-knit group of five, isn't it?
The whole starting rotation in that Blue Jays dugout giving him a high five.
And you got to imagine they shouted, Halle Berry! As soon as he got that hit, Jay Happ with a base hit in the fifth inning, and that made it every Blue Jay in the ball game with at least a hit. And as it turned out, every starter did wind up with at least one hit, and Devin Travis off the bench hit a home run as well. The Blue Jays rout the Phillies 13-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls, but before we get to the next one, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of the win.
I guess lost in everything is Jay Happ, which... What he came today, didn't he?
I don't know. I didn't lose it. Did you lose it? I know what you mean, Barry. Well, he set the tone. You know, he was really, really good. But he has been. He's been like that all year. So you always feel good when he takes the mound. Yeah, and then the offense really had a big, big night. So we're hot. We're playing good baseball right now. We did a lot of things. You know, of course, the big home runs, great home run hit park. Did a lot of good things.
How's Jose's toe?
I'm not sure yet. I think he jammed it or something. So,
what was key for Happ tonight?
I mean, you know what? He's getting ahead of guys. He really throws everything at you now. You know, he's got he's a different style of pitcher than he used to be, and got a good two-seam fastball, and a good nice change rolling off of that. And he'll throw some cutters, some breaking balls. You know, he's really put it all together, and really in the last couple of years.
I know Kevin Pillar used to have this thing about not walking. He walks a little bit more now, but is he better when he's aggressive swinging at the first pitch?
No, not necessarily. It depends on what he's swinging at. You know, I mean, he's a dangerous hitter. You know, I think over time, you know, he's not going to probably be a highly disciplined hitter. But the more he gets, you know, swings at more strikes, he's liable to do that a lot more times.
John, did you like your team's approach against Nola tonight? It looked like they were really trying to make him come into the zone.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? You know, that's one thing we do is we make even our struggles early on this year. We were making pitchers work. We just couldn't knock them out or anything like that. Really capitalize a lot. But that's one thing. That's kind of what we do. But and he's good. But you know, we hit some key hits early, and then you know, of course, right out of the gate. You know, I think he's trying to be careful with Eddie, and Eddie, you know, he hits that breaking ball for a homer, and kind of. You know, and of course, Michael comes back right after that, so it's always good to get a lead.
Gibby, so you're in a good frame of mind going into Baltimore for Keith.
Are we?
Does it put you in a good frame of mind?
Oh, we're in a good one anyway, though.
Gibby, in your opinion, is this slide rule missing the point of what it was intended to do?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. You know, you wish you'd get an explanation. I don't know, maybe we'll get one, but yeah, nobody got hurt. Nobody got the throw off. You know, I think Kevin came in there, he got down before the base, and I think his foot got caught, and he kind of rolled a little bit. Maybe it was the fact that he rolled that got him, but yeah, you know what? Yeah, I mean, it's no use complaining about it because it doesn't do you any good.
You see this offense do this, you know, a couple of times, games this series and just overall, but when you see this team on a roll, just how fun are they to watch when you see these guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really we did that a lot last year. That's kind of, you know, the way the team was built.
And they're doing it again now. 52 runs in the last six games for your Toronto Blue Jays. That's 8 2/3 runs per game. And that includes a game in which they were shut out. They've scored in double digits four times in the last six games. They won 13-2 tonight. This is what you would refer to as a correction. Because it was, what, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe less, when the Jays were on pace to score more than 200 fewer runs than they scored last year. But the offense seems to be going just fine right now. And as you heard Gibby say, he thought Bautista just jammed the toe. I don't know if he knew about the x-rays or just didn't know that whether they'd come back or not. But we will wait and see. If Jose Bautista's in the lineup tomorrow, not having him against Baltimore would not be a lot of fun. But they didn't have him against Baltimore last weekend, and they beat the Orioles three times at home. 13-2, the Jays beat the Phillies tonight. Back to the phones. It's Blue Jays talk. Mark is in Brampton. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm still okay, thank you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So I wanted to talk about a little bit about the draft and some of the Blue Jays players down in the minor leagues. My first time calling in this season, and I know we've spoken about this in the past in terms of the Blue Jays prospects. For the fans who say there's nothing in the minors, where do they come from? We have four pitchers that are coming and coming quickly. I mean, tonight, Sean Reed Foley, 12 strikeouts, 7 shutout innings. Francisco Rios has been dominant. John Harris has been dominating. And Angel Perdomo has been dominating. These are four guys that should be on Blue Jays radars. Considering their performance this year.
Yeah, you haven't even mentioned Connor Green. Just to be fair, a lot of the talk over the winter and a lot of the quote-unquote experts say that the farm system is empty because the Blue Jays traded 13 pitchers last year, so that's where people are getting this. And it's tough to imagine the depth of a farm system. And yeah, the Jays don't have a lot of high-level top prospects, but they certainly have enough to do some wheeling and dealing if that's what they want to do.
And that's where I was going to go with this, because you see, you take a guy like Anthopoulos. He had a strategy with Aaron Sanchez, Miguel Castro, Roberto Osuna, and he brought them to spring training with the idea is we're going to give the kids a chance. And it certainly worked out with Osuna and Sanchez over the last few years. And I'm just wondering, instead of wheeling and dealing and, you know, some of these kids, if a guy like John Harris and Sean Reed Foley can step in, you know, July or maybe in August of this year, bring them in, power arms at the back end of your bullpen, or even, you know, just to break them in a little bit without giving them up, and let them learn the ropes. And, you know, later on in the season, they're 20, 21 years old. That's when Sanchez came up. And instead of trading away some of these guys, why not take a little bit of risk and bring these guys in as power arms in the bullpen? Because that's where we're really lacking, and we have those arms.
That's not happening. That's not happening under Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, Gil Kim. It is not happening. The Blue Jays
you're probably right about that.
No, I guarantee I'm right about that.
Yeah, you are right about that. And that's a departure from previous philosophy.
Well, it isn't. Alex Anthopoulos did it once. He did it with Castro and Asuna last year. Aaron Sanchez had earned his way up. He was pitching in AAA. He was, you know, he was making great strides all the way through the system. Castro and Asuna came right out of A-ball. And, you know, Sean Reed Foley had 12 strikeouts tonight, and he had him in Dunedin. And if you've, you know, if you've listened to Ross Atkins a few times, to Mark Shapiro, he's talked about how, without saying it directly, he said it was a mistake to bring Drew Hutchison up when they did. It was a mistake to move some of these kids as far along as they did. And he thinks that it might have set them back. They think that. So we're not going to see that happen with these guys.
Where would we be without Osuna?
I know. It worked. But very often it doesn't work. It didn't work with Castro, certainly. And those are the only times they've done it. So you hit on one. I you know, it's not something you typically see across the major leagues when you bring up your starting prospects to pitch them out of the bullpen because they throw hard. It's not the worst idea in the world. I think it's, for me, it's too much of a gamble. And for these guys, it is too.
I agree with you. But, you know, back to what you said about the 13 pitchers that we traded or whatnot, I mean, you see really where some of these pitchers have done this year. And it looks like Anthopoulos didn't trade away the top starters. I mean, Def Hoffman is having a so-so year in AAA. Not great, not fantastic. Daniel Norris has been awful in AAA. Miguel Castro has been terrible in the minors and in Colorado. I mean, those were your three top pitchers you traded away. And look where they are. And, you know, their future is considerably uncertain at this point. And so for all those people said you say that, you know, you cleaned out the farm system, I mean, well, what did we get rid of really at this point?
At this point, but I mean, this point is, you know, almost 3 months into their first season in the new organization. And Daniel Norris, I still think, is going to be really good. Miguel Castro is, what, 21 now? You can't really look at what they've done in this half season and say they didn't give away anything. But the truth of the matter is, and I've said this many times too, to get Mark Lowe, to get Ben Revere, they didn't give up anything. LaTroy Hawkins was a throw-in in the deal for Troy Tulowitzki. So they gave up something significant to get David Price. They gave up Jeff Hoffman to get Tulowitzki. They didn't give up anything to get those other guys. And no matter what's in your farm system, you can always make trades for the Mark Lowe's and Ben Revere's of the world at the deadline. Sometimes you can even get the other team to pick up all their salary and still give them nothing. Andrew's in Thornbury. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
So Tula played tonight in Dunedin. So yep. With him coming back in the near future,
we hope.
Who do you see as getting the spot at second base there?
I think Devin Travis is the second baseman. I think the fact that we've seen Ryan Goins play the outfield a couple of times this week already kind of indicates to us that the Blue Jays, when Tulowitzki comes back, are looking at keeping Goins up here as kind of the sixth infielder / fifth outfielder. So I think he stays, and I think Devin Travis, I mean, when this team is healthy, Devin Travis is a second baseman and Troy Tulowitzki is a shortstop, and Darwin Barney would be the utility infielder. I think that's the way they're going to go. But
right on.
We don't know when Tulo's coming back yet. We don't know whether everybody's going to stay healthy. We don't know what's going on with Jose Bautista. So much can change between now and when those moves are made.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's move on to Nicholas, who is somewhere in Saskatchewan. Nicholas.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Great game, and really like to see this team coming together.
Yeah, they're playing really, really well.
I got a little question about the Jose Bautista going hard into the wall with the lead up 9-0, about the wisdom of players doing that. I mean, when you're obviously winning or obviously losing, does it ever make sense to tell the players to, you know, dial it back a bit? I remember, when David Eckstein clobbered Aaron Hill in the head, they were also up by quite a bit that game.
He barely touched him. I couldn't believe that Hill was hurt that badly. It was just the exact perfect right spot. You're the first person who's ever referred to that as a clobbering. But I'll say this, having talked to a ton of professional athletes, I don't think I've ever talked to one who hasn't told me that the moment you let up, that's when you get hurt. The moment that you start playing careful, that's when you get hurt. So for a lot of these guys, there's only one way to do it.
Okay, yeah, sounds fantastic. Well, look forward to the series in Baltimore, and look forward to us being in first place at the end of it.
It's quite possible. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. The Blue Jays going into Baltimore, two games out of first in the AL East. If they sweep the series, they will pass the Orioles. Of course, there's Boston, too. And the Red Sox, if they sweep their series while the Blue Jays are sweeping the Orioles, the Red Sox are home to Seattle, then Boston will be in first place. So the Blue Jays need a little help. But you know what? Let's not get too excited. The odds of the Blue Jays sweeping the Orioles are slim. There is, in fact, a chance that the Blue Jays actually lose the series. And if they do, that's okay. If they lose 2 out of 3, they're 3 games out of first with 90 games left to play in the season. No problem at all. You would love to see them go in and win that series. That would make them 21-9 in 30 games playing 700 ball, which is a little greedy. So don't get too upset if they go into Baltimore and lose 2 or 3, but it'd be awful swell to win the series. And the hitting, the way they're hitting, they should be able to beat up on the Orioles pitchers, though they do face Chris Tillman and Yovani Gallardo, who's been a real thorn in the Jays' side the last little while. Blue Jays won it 13-2 today. Drew is in Port Credit. Hello, Drew.
Hi, Mike. Good evening. First-time caller.
Thanks. Welcome.
Thank you. Now, I've been a fan of the Jays. I won't presume to know the trade market as well as I do NHL, but, I mean, considering the issues that the bullpen has had and the questions arising, Aaron Sanchez, should he stay in the rotation? Should he go in the bullpen? And the emergence of the infield, the middle infielders that we have, would it not make sense to trade Troy Tulowitzki when he gets better over and get a certain left-hander out of New York?
Andrew Miller?
Yes.
You think you can get Andrew Miller for Troy Tulowitzki?
Well, I won't presume to know the player values in baseball as well as I do in hockey. But
okay,
I mean,
let me
Troy
tell
Tulowitzki
you.
Is a premier shortstop.
You absolutely cannot get Andrew Miller for Troy Tulowitzki.
Is there any chance we pry him out of there for anything that we have? I mean, because we seem to have a...
Oh, yeah, they've got lots of stuff you can get for Andrew Miller.
It would seem to solve the issue and put the rest and keep Sanchez in the rotation. I mean, he's one of our best starters.
He's not staying in the rotation.
I can't understand that because you're putting more stress on his rest period in between starts, you know, because you're asking him to pitch maybe every 2-3 days as opposed to every 5 days if he's in the rotation, if he goes into the bullpen.
And 14 to 20 pitches every 2 or 3 days is very different from 100 pitches every 5 days.
I know McCowan said something along those lines, and I completely agree with him. Like it messes up his timing or his rest period, and his, you know, it puts more strain. McCowan says it would put more strain on his arm.
It will not. Throwing less more often does not put more stress on your arm.
Okay.
Look, he's going to the bullpen, and he's got to. I know there's no hard evidence that says if you increase a guy's innings by a certain number, then he's going to get hurt. And we don't exactly know who's going to get hurt. And a lot of the guys who we think are going to get hurt don't get hurt and vice versa. But to increase someone's innings from a career high of 130 to over 200 in one season is borderline negligent. and the Blue Jays are not going to do that. Aaron Sanchez is going to the bullpen. Even if Aaron Sanchez goes to the bullpen, picking up Andrew Miller is still a great idea, assuming he can stay healthy. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I do think they'll be active on the trade market. I don't think Troy Tulowitzki has any trade value at the moment. He's going to have to start hitting like Troy Tulowitzki in order to do that. But then once he does that, you're really going to want to keep him around. I appreciate the call. I want to sneak one more in before we go. Andre in Scarborough. Hello, Andre.
Hey, Mike. It's just, you made this comment a week ago, I think, how we need to get used to having contending teams in this city. And
yeah,
like, we've been waiting all year for the Jays to finally play like this, but everyone wants to talk about Aaron Sanchez to the bullpen. Like, it's unbelievable.
Hey, look, it's you know, you got to be not happy about something, right?
Yeah.
It's part of being a sports fan.
But I was expecting a boring Blue Jays talk because we've been winning, but today was not bad.
Oh, thanks.
And just a question. The 30 games after the Baltimore series out of our division, is that like a concern to you, or should we be concerned about that, or is that just like, you know, a scheduling thing?
Why? What do you want to be concerned about?
Well, like, we can't directly make up any games against Boston or Baltimore in terms of playing them head-to-head.
Well, you only play them 18 times a year. You can't play them every day, so, right? There's more than half the season you're not playing against your division.
So is it a regular thing to have an entire month without facing any teams in your division? Or?
I don't know if it's a regular thing to have like that long, but, I mean, the Blue Jays, once they finish the Orioles series, they'll have played over half of their season series against every team in the AL East, and they'll still have 90 games left in the season. So, it doesn't matter when. The beautiful thing is that you're really in your division at the beginning and you're really in your division at the end.
For sure. And just quickly, like, everyone wants to talk about what's going to happen when Tulo's back, who's going down. I want to look at it a different way. Like, imagine how even scarier we can be if Tulo is just hitting a bit when he does come back, and how good that, you know, automatically makes our defense as well.
It's absolutely true. I mean, I don't think they're gaining anything on defense because Barney and Goins are just as good as Tulowitzki at shortstop. But the offense, and remember, Tulo was hitting 300 over 50 at-bats when he got hurt. They haven't had him, and they have been winning a boatload of ball games, including six of the last seven. They beat the Phillies 13-2 tonight. Post games brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. This is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
That's going to do it for us. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 13-2. They've won 6 of 7. They've scored 52 runs in their last 6 games, and they've been shut out in one of those. And after starting the season 19-23, they have gone 19-8. And they're now in the second wild card, a game behind the first wild card, 2 games out of first in the AL East. And they're about to take on that first place club, the Baltimore Orioles. They start a 3-game series tomorrow night. We're on the air at 7 o'clock. Aaron Sanchez against Mike Wright. Jose Bautista refused to speak to the media after the game today, so didn't address his big toe. He will fill us in tomorrow, apparently, in Baltimore. And we don't yet know the results of those x-rays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delich, and Sudden Sam McKee, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Toronto.